Hello, welcome to How Is That Not a Thing, the podcast where our experts pitch crazy products and inventions while the rest of us guess whether they're real or not. I'm joined today by Freddie Riddell.
Hello.
Sophie Marchand.
Hi.
And first timer, Oscar Karonka.
Well, hi there.
I thought I'd kick us off with a cool one that I found this week.
Or did you find it? Did you find it in your brain?
Yeah, that's very much the game we're playing.
Yes.
Who has a phone?
I do.
You'd struggle to do without one in this day and age, wouldn't you?
I would.
You're out and about, your iPhone, low on battery, 21%, it's in the red, and then it's off instantly. You know, these batteries on these modern devices, you can't trust them for a second. How are you going to fix that?
Solar panels attached to my head and hat.
Interesting, but impractical.
An iPhone case with a crank wheel on the back that's attached to a dynamo that lets you recharge the battery.
Hamster wheel attached to a dynamo.
I'll just buy a new phone.
Street magician dynamo attached to a dynamo.
I'd just buy a new phone every time I run out of battery.
A solution for those with a lot of money, apparently. Well, this is actually quite in line with your suggestions, guys. This is a hydroelectric solution. This is a turbine that you carry about with you, and you can. It stores battery, and you can plug your phone into it and recharge your phone from that battery. But you can recharge that device, the battery, by putting this turbine in a source of water, and it will rotate, therefore charging the device.
Doesn't it have to be tidal? Isn't that what hydroelectric means?
Yeah.
No, it'd be like streams.
Streams.
Much
so,
like a dam.
So you basically, you just have to find a tap.
I think more like a river or...
Oh, yeah, no, because I'm always in places with rivers when my phone runs out.
Whoa. So, contextually, this makes more sense if you maybe do geology and you're out in the mountains and there are lots of streams about.
I do geology.
It's quite niche.
Yeah, but we're all about niche on this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've got a quick question. What was wrong with any of our great ideas that this far inferior product had to be invented?
I mean, I put solar panels on a hat. You wear a hat. That doesn't take up hand space.
You do wear hats.
But what if your phone runs out of battery at night and you're in a mountain?
Why would I not have my hat with me?
Oh, but it's night time, so you can't charge it.
Yeah, but he would already have got the charge from the solar panel.
He's walking around all day with his hat on.
Yeah.
You've got four devices to charge. You've got your phone to charge, a camera, you've got your...
Who has a phone and a camera these days?
You've got your geological equipment.
And your Kindle.
Because your geological equipment all is powered by USB.
Yes. Compass. That geological compass, USB.
Oh, if you stood on the spot and spun around really fast, the compass would spin and you could attach that to a dynamo attached to a phone.
Your one with the crank and that mental solution right there requires physical expenditure. So.
I don't see what was wrong with the hamster idea, because you get both a source of power and a friend.
I mean...
I didn't even hear the hamster idea.
Yeah, but if you... The river idea, you get a source of power and lots of friends because all the fish...
that you slice up by then go through the turbine.
I will say, in defence of Maxi's stupid idea, you can just leave it overnight and it will be charged up in the morning.
This was what I was going to say.
It doesn't require you to look at it or do anything. You can just leave it in the pond, slowly filling up the turbine's battery, and then you recharge your phone from that. Like, there is a bit of a use case.
So, is this like a battery storage pack so you can charge anything off it?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Does it go to mains or USB?
Whatever you want, Sunshine.
Well, USB, yeah. So, like a camera, a phone, your recording equipment.
If you're like a wilderness podcast.
Your iPad, you know.
Your Kindle.
Your Kindle.
Your Blender.
Your Zoom.
Your Huddle.
Your USB Blender.
Your
yeah.
KitchenAid.
Your Kobo, I think, is the one W.H. Smith sells.
Yes.
Yeah. Kobo. It's an allegory of a book.
I know.
You can actually just, like, hook it onto the bank of a stream or something and let
well,
it trail.
Onto one of the attachments that the councils are currently put at the edges of all the streams.
No, like, just hammer in, like, a fixture on
so
the
you
side.
Need a hammer.
How big is this turbine?
I mean, would a regular...
It's, like, that big.
What are you hammering it into?
So it has to be in the river. So how do you fix it to the river? You fix something to the bank that then is attached by a cord to the turbine, which is in the water.
What if it gets eaten by a fish?
It's quite big.
Could you
and
fish.
Plastic and
fish are stupid, Maxie. Fish are stupid.
Could you attach it to the back of a boat as the boat goes along the river, and then obviously you create a current with your boat?
Absolutely.
Zoom.
How does it stop itself from shorting? Because at some point there must be an exposed mechanism for the turbine to work.
Water
and
is actually surprisingly unconductive.
It's only the impurities in water that make it a conductive material. So if you had distilled water, that's a non-electrical conductive substance.
So what you're saying, Maxie, is carry a Brita filter with you at all times, and you'll be fine.
So you need, let's just go through this, a hammer, a Brita filter.
Other filters are available.
Oh, other filters.
One of those ultraviolet pens for disinfecting the water, because you don't want your turbine to get dirty.
You needed some kind of rope to attach it to the rock that you've used the hammer.
You need to be a geologist at night time in a mountain.
And a river.
And a river and a mountain.
You need to be a river for this to work.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, it sounds like you guys maybe don't believe that this exists.
No, I actually do believe it exists.
People at home.
This is the kind of thing a very clever idiot would come up with.
Yeah.
Geologists at home, do you think this is real? Have we just been chatting crap for the past 5 minutes? Probably.
Probably. Yeah.
Sophie, is that real?
See, I can see a point in it. I can see the turbine thing working, but then at the same time, it's again, so many holes. So many holes to fill.
Well, you need holes in a turbine.
Oh.
Oh, badum-tish.
I'm going to say it's real. It's something a clever idiot could come up with, and there are plenty of clever idiots.
Nice.
It's real. It's definitely real.
It's definitely real. Guys, it's real. You're not going to buy that?
No.
Why are you not going to buy that?
Hey, when global warming happens and we as all fish people, you're going to thank whoever invented that stupid ass machine.
We'll all be geologists when global warming happens.
The device is called Blue Freedom.
Of course it is.
Which is great. And it was actually Kickstarted. Which is nice. They have their product specs on the website, but they're very vague about how long exactly it does take to do a full charge. But the
vague. Could be a week. Be an hour.
Yeah, just leave it in there for the next year. Yeah. And when you come back for next season,
it might
be charged.
Surely that very, very much depends on the strength of the water source. Like, if you're using the sea,
it depends
minutes.
On about a million things.
It's a seasonal device.
It's pretty cool, though. Any green technology is cool.
Tell you what, it'd be useful in Durham over the winter. Have you seen that river?
Hey!
Jokes.
Oscar, have you got one for us?
I've got one for you guys, right. Have you ever encountered the problem of owning some goldfish, but you fear that they don't get enough exercise?
Yes.
This is the product for you.
Yeah.
This is, it's called the Goldfish Walker, and it's a trolley in which you place a goldfish bowl and you can wheel it around with you as you walk.
So the goldfish is not being exercised in any way.
Not even slightly, Maxie. Not even slightly. That's the beauty of it.
This is my favourite thing about this podcast, is when people introduce their idea in a completely wrong manner that didn't introduce the idea at all.
But they're moving. They're getting exercised by just moving.
No!
You're moving.
Cool. Fish trolley.
Well, basically, the person in question, I think his name was Michael, but I can't remember his surname. He lives in Huddersfield and he's a metal worker. He got really sad so that he couldn't take his fish with him when he went for walks. So he constructed this big trolley with which you place the fish in and you can drag them around with you.
Why has it got to be so big? Why can't you just have a backpack on?
Because I'm like assuming that, yeah. He couldn't afford a dog and therefore the resistance would make it more authentic.
He wanted to feel like he was walking an animal. Yeah. Like,
that's quite sweet.
Wants to feel involved with his fish.
Does he think dogs need to be dragged around everywhere? Did his dog die for like a month before he realised?
Oh, no.
So the actual construction of it, it's large and blue. There are lots of panels that come up and hold the for a round fish bowl. And it holds them in so the fish can see out. In the
very much the stereotypical goldfish bowl we're talking about here.
Very much stereotypical, very much. But I'm sure that other goldfish bowl styles are available and he would cater for them.
Mm-hmm.
The product's only available by special order. And the wheels on the bottom, similar to a roller chair.
Okay.
It's that kind of system.
Why couldn't you just put your goldfish bowl in a shopping trolley and then drag that along?
Because then you'd have to steal the shopping trolley.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you have a shopping trolley?
You know that shopping trolleys only cost £1.
Shut up.
They do, though.
But you're doing it wrong.
How many shopping trolleys have you stolen?
You don't steal, you pay for them. They're £1.
I think you're doing Tesco's wrong.
Okay. What if you... So I'm under the impression... I've had goldfish before. And the traditional goldfish bowl doesn't really work. You need filtration systems.
I don't know where the idea of the actual goldfish bowl came from, because it's incredibly cruel.
Yes.
You'll get labelled an enemy of the ocean if you've got one of those.
Why?
Because there's like...
Still water in a little bowl will kill the fish.
It will drown in its own piss.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
Well, on the images...
Unless you change it every day.
Yeah. Oh, that's probably what it is, isn't it?
That's probably
what
it is.
Yeah, it's probably people change it every day.
Before. Oh, no, but that every time you change the water of the goldfish, it freaks the fish out. You're supposed to, like, only change part of the water. So maybe you change
part of it. Yeah, so you take some of the water out. This was probably before electricity was invented in 1853.
that was the date, everyone.
March the 3rd.
I was actually going to say 1953 and it'd be a joke, but I fucked up how years work.
This is what's convinced me so far, is that... He had the name and everything, and not many people would go straight for Huddersfield.
See, to me, Michael from Huddersfield sounds exactly like a classic Karonka character.
You know, all those Karonka characters. Also, this isn't from when before electricity was invented. This is from 2 years ago. It was so, on the Daily Mail website.
Oh.
Oh.
Mm. No, no, you're trying too hard. It's not real.
All right.
Can't possibly be real.
Sophie, is it real?
No.
I think it is real. I think it's real.
Louise, why don't you look down at the bottom of that teacup you've got and see what the tea leaves are telling you about whether this is real or not.
Hmm. Mm.
Wow, I didn't think that would actually work. That's kind of spooky, actually.
Okay, Oscar, is it real?
It's real.
Yes! Of course it's flipping real. Is what's his name from Huddersfield real?
All the details are real.
Michael from Huddersfield.
Just look up the goldfish bowl trolley. I can't remember his second name, so it would. There are probably many Michaels from Huddersfield.
You guys totally overthought his double crossing idea. This is Honest Oscar here.
It's what they call him down the roller disco.
Has anyone ever been to a roller disco?
No.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
I have once.
Have you?
Yeah, I was about...
There was one at Trev's summer ball.
Oh, there was one at Trev's summer ball.
Yeah. I was 12 and I couldn't skate, so I kept falling over.
Miss that?
That's him.
Oh,
he looks like he's got no friends.
Sorry, it was Metro News.
Yeah, he's got fish.
That's not a friend. Fish are food, not friends.
I've got to say...
The fishmonger.
Fish were, like, vaguely exciting for the first 10 minutes of owning them, and then they died.
They're such a bad pet.
They're not...
They don't even have faces.
And also the noise of the machinery. They're not even relaxing, because that drone is very irritating.
I've never had a fish.
And if we could just keep that drone going for the next 40 minutes, that would be much appreciated, Freddie Riddell.
He'll have to breathe soon. Nope.
No, he's mastered circular breathing.
No, he hasn't. Right, so recently, I think this is actually a fairly recent development in the world of, I'm not sure, I suppose the world of butchery, but also perhaps the world of environmentally friendly foods and that sort of thing.
Cool, okay.
So a company called Memphis Meats have come up with the first test tube meatball. So it's like... You take a few cells, I mean, I'm not science, I don't know science, but this is how I imagine it happens. You take a few cells of a cow, and you grow meat from those cells, and you produce meatballs from them. And it's obviously highly, a lot better for the environment, because you're not having loads of cows grazing, then you're not having to kill the cows to produce the meatballs otherwise. So it's kind of like, well, apparently they say that it produces 90% less greenhouse gases.
Mm-hmm.
And you just get some cells, they grow, and then you kind of just have edible meat that you can create things out of. Meatballs, I think, is what they've done so far, but I assume they can work out how to do other cuts. And it's quite expensive. It's $18,000 to make 1 pound of ground beef, which is compared to $4. but they're working on it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing like a video of a lady who had tried a meatball. I think she was told before that it was like laboratory grown meat. But she was like, no, it just tastes like a meatball. So I guess it works.
I've got a question straight off the bat. how far away are we from trees that sort of grow meatballs on them?
I know they have grown a test tube burger. They did it years ago. I think it was in 2006 or 7 or something. And it looked like it was made of little pink crystals. It looked disgusting. And I think it was weird. They tried it on one of the weirder, like, choices to try that thing on. It was like multi-£1,000 thing, and I think they tried it on the American equivalent of This Morning. And it was really weird. It was a weird segment. It was something like where
the burger was weird. The
burger looked strange, but the fact that it was on that segment at all was weird.
It's like, why would you choose This Morning to display this technological breakthrough?
Yeah, well, I suppose they couldn't find a niche anywhere else.
So they've actually culinarily taken a step backwards by moving to meatballs. Which are, I think, inferior to the burger.
Unless it doesn't look like... Well, the way I would describe the burger that they made was it looked like it had been made in Minecraft. Mm. So, if it doesn't look like it's been made by a 9-year-old in Minecraft, I think it's good.
Well, yeah. I can tell you that the video I saw, there was, like, this professional chef teamed up with the company, and then he was like, oh, OK, I'm going to take this meat and just cook it like a normal meatball, and I'm going to make a nice little dish for this woman, and it looked like a normal meatball, and the woman enjoyed it.
So, presumably, when they're cultivating these cells, they can't cultivate it in the same way it would grow in an animal. So it wouldn't have, like, veins of fat or, like, a layer of fat on the outside. So if you wanted to try and make bacon, you'd have to, like, grow the meaty bit, and then you'd have to grow the fat bit separately, kind of thing. Like, it would be hard to... Yeah.
Also, the fat...
But a meatball makes sense, because you can add beef dripping to it, for example.
What I understand of it is that they've just taken what they've grown to make a pound of ground beef.
Yeah.
And so it's like just mincemeat.
Yeah.
And then what you can do with mincemeat is, well, a number of things, but not make bacon.
Yeah.
I think ideally, you know that bit in Star Wars where Luke's floating in the tank, going up. So that, but with a pig. That's the end game, I think, for science.
But I'm pretty sure that's not how this works.
When you do that, you've won science. Yeah.
When you want your bacon, Maxie, that's how it'll be happening. It's a pig floating while its sister stands outside and is like, why did it go outside? It could have died.
But this is very much like almost 3D printing meat, right?
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
So I want
but,
to give you...
But like I was saying, so for ground beef, it needs a certain amount of fat content.
Yeah.
But you can't get that from growing it like this, or you'd have to grow the fat separately, probably.
I
don't know. I want to know more about it.
But there's a nice little choice quotation here from the CEO of the company. We plan to do to the meat industry what the car did to the horse and buggy. So...
Destroy thousands of jobs.
I reckon in about a month's time it will turn out that actually that meatball was just made of horse meat.
Yeah.
They tried to grow beef and they'd accidentally grown horse.
Yeah. And once again, the British public will be surprisingly uncaring about the whole fiasco anyway. Cool. Freddie, do you think this is real?
I do think it is real.
Yeah, I think, because I'd also heard of the burger.
But it's a great invention.
I've heard of that. Where can I get one?
The grown burger, like Oscar. And I think the timeline of development makes sense that they might be a bit nicer now. So yeah.
I don't think it's real because I think it's too specific an example. It's something that you would have heard more about that if that's a real breakthrough to make pure meat. That's something that I would have heard, that we would have probably heard about, probably in the little sidebar in Facebook that's pointless.
Well, at home, if you're eating a meatball now, ponder upon where that meatball came from and would you still eat it if it was grown in a lab? Sophie, is it real?
It is indeed real. Memphis Meats are real.
Woo!
That looks weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
It looks quite... I would eat that.
Are those olives? So
cultured meat is the tech, is it?
Memphis Meats. Yeah, there's
the
quite...
Meat
it's
is cultured,
very, very recent. I think I saw it at the beginning of February, and this was published around the 2nd or something of February. So it's a really interesting development.
Wow.
But $18,000 versus $4. Don't quite have the money.
That's interesting. So... For beef, 23 calories in feed creates 1 calorie of beef. But 1 calorie of this cultured meat can be created from 3 calories. It still seems inefficient, doesn't it? Maybe we should actually... I love meat, I worked at a butcher's, but maybe we should just become vegetarian.
Oh, 1 to 3's finished. We've got a lot of corn.
It's kind of weird, though, to just acknowledge an inefficiency and us to be like, yeah, I don't really care, planet, whatever.
But that's what we do with cars. We acknowledge the fact that we could get a train to places, yet we still choose sometimes to drive 6 hours instead of getting a 3-hour train.
Humans are dicks.
Or idiots. Mm.
Both.
Bit of both.
Mm. But yeah, it's I think, an interesting development, and I'll be watching it. I'm a meat eater myself.
Mm.
There we go.
Very interesting.
Freddie Riddell.
So, we've all given birth at one time or another.
Certainly.
And I'm sure we're all familiar with that uncomfortable birthing feeling.
Freddie, I'm in my third trimester as we speak, and I can tell you, my pelvic floor is aching.
You are glowing, Maxie.
Thank you.
So, what would you say if I told you I could help pull that baby out the whole way through the labour process? There'd be a constant force being exerted on that baby. Like a baby magnet, if you will.
Is it... Please tell me, I will be so happy if it's a Looney Tunes-style plunger.
No, but that's actually how I was removed.
Suctioned his head.
I was in labour for 3 days, and in the end they stuck an electric plunger up my mum's wazoo and pulled me out by my head. True story.
In my head, the Bugs Bunny is doing the plunging and trying to eat carrots.
Just sitting there.
That's where you're wrong. My doctor was the Fonz. Introducing the centrifugal baby birthing stirrups.
That's a word.
So yeah, you're lying back on the bed, you're strapped in by Doc Ock or whoever's delivering the baby, and you're on this big table that then starts spinning around, and the centrifugal force being applied on you by the rotation helps suck Babby out of your bits.
Into where, though? Because where is this baby? It kind of sounds like a lucky dip. You could have several different containers that the baby could be fired into, kind of like a sort of roulette wheel.
And the box that they end up in
is their parent.
Social class.
There's like a parent waiting behind each door, and it's like...
I mean, that would be funny, but it's actually 100 nurses with... catcher's mitts.
I mean, and a batter.
I might be inexperienced here, and I think I'm possibly the only person at the table who's not had a baby as of yet.
Oh, you must try it. Oh, it's the ultimate high.
But my understanding is that the experience of labour is not a pleasant one. The experience of pregnancy is not necessarily a pleasant one. And so do you really want to be spun around at force while you're in labour?
Well, the interesting thing about relativity is that once you're up to speed, you'll no longer register yourself as spinning.
Well, also, though, Sophie, I think it's a sort of short-term pain. You're decreasing the length of the of labour so significantly that it's worth it.
But also the risk of the labour.
I'm still not satisfied with the explanation of what happens to the baby when it gets fired
but
out.
What actually happens is there's a net strung across her feet. The woman, the birth woman.
A net.
Not the doctor woman. You might be a man.
Oh, a baby net. Yeah, baby. That's a solution.
Like, you know when you're doing the hammer throw? There's a net to make sure it doesn't get into the crowd, like that, but it's attached to the big burly man, who's in this case a big burly woman. I hope I've explained that clearly and concisely.
I can seriously imagine this being a fantastic iOS game where you have to tap to stop the thing and then maybe
right
have to
time.
Fly out into a tub.
We should actually make that.
Maxie, get on the graphics.
I think I've heard all I need to hear. This sounds horrendously medically unsound, uncomfortable for all parties involved, and illegal, frankly.
Wait a second. Don't babies have incredibly soft heads and
yes.
they come out head first?
Yeah, they have the three plates of the head haven't yet fused in babies.
So it's just a brain with some skin on it.
Yeah.
That's hitting a fishing net,
it's a
essentially.
Soft net. It's a soft net.
How are you making it? No matter how soft it is, that's going to be painful for a baby.
It's a cashmere net.
Well, that's just impractical.
The NHS is not going to pay for cashmere net.
Do you think the NHS is paying for this? This is a Booper product.
Mothers at home, would you give birth like this? Is this how you see yourself bringing life into the new world?
Babies at home, wouldn't this be rad?
Or does this sound like a nightmarish roller coaster ride?
Push, Mrs. Knievel, push.
Oscar Karonka. You buying it?
I'm gonna say it's fake.
Yeah. Sophie?
Yeah, fake.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely illegal.
Freddie Riddell!
Freddie Riddell, is it real?
Oh, mummy, it's real!
guys, you can tweet inventions you find, crazy products, or stuff that you've just come up with yourself, and maybe we'll read them out next week. Oscar, do you have a Twitter?
No.
Probably the right decision. It's going down the pan. Sophie?
I do, but I just never use it, so I wouldn't follow me on it. Maybe email me, sophie.me.
No, at anything. Just say at your use.
At SAUFSOPH. That's my Twitter.
You can find me at eggshaped.
No, I did that one last.
Oh, right.
He's done that every time.
Andrew Hunter M.
And you can find me at qipodcast@bbc.com.uk.
And I'm at McClues. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, leave us a review, and like us on Facebook. Thank you very much for listening, guys. See you next time. Bye!
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.